From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 21st day of January 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, NCGA has added its name to a growing list of cap-and-trade opponents. VHP is planning to invest a couple $100 million into a Canadian potash plant. And an official from USDA says the lines of communications are open to Russia as it pertains to poultry imports into that nation. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And then at the end of this half hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levin about the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat down to, rather up to, at 499.5. The May at 513, up a penny and three quarters. July up 1.25 at 525. And the December contract up a penny at 565.5. The lower numbers came in Kansas City, where hard red was a penny lower at 503.5 in the nearby March contract. March corn futures at 372, a gain today, up 4 cents. May contract at 382.75, up 4. July at 392.25, up 4 on the afternoon. And the September futures up 3.25 at $3.99. December contract at 405.5, up 2.75. The March of 2011 at 415, up 2.25. March oats at 223, up 3 cents for the day. So a complex March contract 954, up 4. May futures in the bean pit at 961, up 4.25. July at 966, up a nickel. August futures at 960, up 4.5 cents. And September at 946.25, 4.75 higher. November soybeans up 5.5 cents at $9.34 for the day. Bean meal at 287.50, up $1.30. Bean meal at 37, up 43 for the afternoon. The numbers from the livestock side of the CME group finished the nearby live cattle. February contract at 86.85, down 60. January feeders at 97, 42.5, 50 lower. And the February lean hogs at $70.80. The settlement price there finished the day 35 cents higher or in the green on the afternoon. You're, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, a settlement price at $76.08 a barrel in the nearby March contract, $1.66 lower. February ethanol at $1.78.09, up 2.7. Natural gas at $5.60.08, 11.2 cents higher. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.98.03. That's 6.3 cents lower. Diesel fuel down 3.5 cents at $1.98.05. And the gold futures at $1,102.70 an ounce finished $9.60 lower for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at this hour is down just about 196 points at 10,407. And the U.S. dollar at 78.33 is up 1.01 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like as it's laid up by our own Mike Sola. He says tonight in northern and west-central Illinois and northern Indiana, should be cloudy. There will be areas of freezing rain, a bit of freezing drizzle. Elsewhere, cloudy, areas of rain and drizzle. Lows this evening from 25 in far northern Illinois to 40 in the far southern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow, cloudy, areas of fog and patches of freezing drizzle and drizzle across northern Illinois. Patches of freezing drizzle elsewhere as well. Highs will range from 31 in far northwestern Illinois to 47 in the far south. The extended weather forecast says milder weather expected this weekend. High temps on Sunday should range to the mid-upper 30s in the far north to the 50s in the south. Highs Sunday ranging from the 30s in northwestern Illinois to the low 50s in the south. And then cooler air will return next week. But a return to bitter cold air is not expected. High temperatures next week should mostly be in the 30s. More on the agricultural weather when we talk to Pete Levitt at the bottom of this half-hour period.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, as he does each and every Thursday, is Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk about the marketplace. You've had a week to digest what USDA put in place on its final crop production report for the year last week. Marketplace moved sharply lower. Do you see any technical difficulties ahead?
Well, short term, the market with the collapse that we saw after the report pretty well put everything kind of in the what I would call technically oversold category. We've had some pretty good hits. Today, we finally begin to see that take hold. We kind of had a mixed session here for an hour or two, but by the time we got ready to close during the last hour of the trade, the market was able to kind of catch here and post some gains. So I think we're at the point where the market might want to stabilize for a little bit, might even, it's difficult to say how long it's going to last because I think the overall trend and the momentum is still to the downside. But very often the markets go opposite the dominant direction of the trend during the last few days of the month. The next week, believe it or not, I guess is the last week of January. So with the report having knocked the legs out from underneath the commodities, one would suspect that we could maybe see some short covering rally here take hold, that might keep things stable for a while and see whether or not any kind of fundamental events come along to change the overall tone of the market. But clearly after last week's report, just about everybody turned bearish. It's kind of to the point where I'm to the point where I could maybe begin to get neutral to a little friendly because, a lot of these market advisors or market advisory services have been holding corn and soybeans for higher price levels are now all looking for a place to sell it. So that's kind of what you got to see in a marketplace to kind of get it to go higher, Todd.
Well, I'm wondering, when you talk to producers, do they find themselves in a position where they have bins full of grain that they will need to move more swiftly than they thought because it went in out of condition or in high moisture contents?
Well, that's the talk in the trade anyway, is that I think...
But is it the talk with farmers? Is it true?
Oh, I think so. They've put in some corn into the bin that probably was not necessarily up to par because they were under pressure to get it done. I mean, you had lines at the elevators and whatnot, and you're wanting to get it done. So some people, pushed the letter of the envelope probably further than what they should have. I'm getting pictures in here from out in Iowa. I just saw a big corn pile out in Iowa, all black. Some co-op elevator put corn outside, and it got away from them and just totally turned black on them. So I do think we're going to have some quality problems. I do think you're going to see some movement come into the marketplace somewhere in here before spring, and we'll have to kind of go from there.
Is that one of the fundamental things that might need to happen, that we clear that out and then we come up with short of quality corn?
Well, I don't know if you call it come up short of quality corn. I mean, we really never run out of corn. I mean, it'll be discounted to the buyers, whoever's buying that. They'll take a discount on it because it'll be less quality, but it'll be used up. I mean, now this black corn that I saw on the internet, I don't know what they're going to do with that. But as long as it's not too bad, the end users will take it off of everybody's hands, at somewhat of a discount, Todd.
Well, so how do you see things proceeding, and what might be fundamental events that you would watch for that could turn the market higher?
Well, I suppose corn is probably the one that maybe has the most potential to make a stage or a recovery rally, simply on the fact is that underlying demand is not too bad. We do have a strong ethanol market, and that's growing, even though EPA hasn't, you know, given any indication that they're going to extend the go to E12 or E13 or 14. I do think the ethanol industry is optimistic that that's coming. That could be maybe an election year perk that the politicians might throw our way sometime next summer, early fall. I think something like that is would be exciting to the corn market. The other thing is farmers as a group are behind with fall field work. There's little, if any, fall field tillage got done. So we're going into the spring behind. So far, the soil moisture is plenty wet with the type of activity that we've had so far this winter. So the market might at some point in time worry about a timely planting. I've talked to some farmers that have said, I've had enough of corn. 09 was enough for me. They went ahead and sold some $10 cash beans out of the field, and they're all going to plant beans and not worry about planting corn this year and taking the discounts of the wet corn and whatnot. So it wouldn't surprise me that the trade is working a higher corn acreage number than maybe that's really out there for now. I think ultimately that acre will be there, but the market might have to worry a little bit about whether or not it gets that. So I do think the other thing is that this break has brought some export demand into the marketplace, which we were definitely lacking when we were up in that $4 area. So we have picked up a little activity, but nothing to brag about yet. But there is a little pickup of demand. You can at least see that.
How about on the livestock side? Last week, World Outlook Board said livestock usage for corn was going to increase. And even on a down day, down 75 cents, we still broke through $80 in the June hogs today.
Well, you got to keep in mind that feed number on the USA supply-demand table is residual use, and that's what we call unexplained disappearance. And, you know, that is the number that's going to be changed if USDA does a resurvey and find out that maybe we didn't quite raise as much corn as what they thought. We may not have harvested as many acres as what they thought. What you'll see then is you'll see that feed and residual number shrink in, and you probably won't see any change in carryover.
Any other final word from you before I let you go for the afternoon?
That's all I have.
Okay, thank you so much.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what he had to say again, you can do that in a couple of ways. You can always visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find our daily ag programming. You can listen to it directly from the website or as a podcast. Or you can visit our phone number at 217-333-3434. That is, dial it up, 217-333-3434. We post programming there at 10:15 and 3:15 daily.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Dave Dickey's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, The National Corn Growers Association yesterday added its name to the list of agriculture and commodity groups opposing the House climate bill. A new study from Informa Economics suggests that under a cap-and-trade regime created by the House climate bill, that corn farmers could eventually face higher production costs over time. Corn production costs would rise minimally through 2025 if the fertilizer industry qualified for free carbon allowances given to trade vulnerable industries. After 2025, however, those free carbon allowances go away. The Informa study suggests that corn production costs then begin to increase dramatically, rising nearly $50 an acre by 2035. BHP plans to invest more money in its Saskatchewan potash project. The world's largest miner plans to invest $240 million to fund the development of the first stages of its Jansen potash project in Western Canada. The mine is being designed to produce about 8 million tons of potash a year, or roughly 12% of current global capacity. A USDA official says that the U.S. and Russia agreed to more meat trade discussions in coming weeks with the goal of resolving a dispute over meat shipments to Moscow. During the past month, Russia has taken steps which have effectively shut out U.S. exporters out of the number one export market for poultry and a top five market for pork. Russia has said that U.S. meat must live up to new safety rules. U.S. officials have stressed that its meat exports are safe. A number of senior U.S. lawmakers say the U.S. should not resume trade and investment talks with Taiwan until that country reverses a ban on U.S. beef. The lawmakers say they are also backing the U.S. Trade Representative's decision to explore options under world trade rules to make sure that Taiwan reopens its market to the U.S. beef industry. It's not too late to sign up for a two-day workshop on agricultural markets. Todd Gleason has the details.
The University of Illinois is sponsoring the seminar to be held at the Illini Center in Chicago. The program is for those engaged in the agricultural marketplace wanting to better understand the world agricultural markets and the associated risk management strategies. Gene Kunda from the U of I put the seminar together.
Next week we're holding a workshop on really world agricultural marketing. We're going to cover the activities involved in production, distribution, transportation, processing, and merchandising of grain, including risk management involving futures and options.
The workshop, sponsored by the University of Illinois, will provide an in-depth update on the latest trends in the world agricultural marketplace, grain flow, transportation, regulation, hedging, basis trading, spreads, market reports, and options. The workshop is scheduled from 9 to 4:30 p.m. Monday and Tuesday of next week. Cost for the full two-day workshop is $650. It includes all the materials, as well as a session at the Chicago Board of Trade to observe trading and the daily closing of the agricultural futures and options markets. Contact Eugene Kunda at the University of Illinois in Urbana to register. His phone number is 217-333-1427 or email kunda at illinois.edu. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. Up next in today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus says it's a new year and there are new goals for the Illinois Farm Bureau.
Illinois' financial outlook won't improve with the new year, leading the Illinois Farm Bureau to keep state budget issues at the top of the list among its state legislative priorities. The Illinois Farm Bureau Board of Directors recently set the organization's state legislative priorities for the year 2010. Illinois Farm Bureau will seek passage of a state budget with maintenance funding levels for core agricultural programs within the current state tax structure. Farm Bureau supports a no-growth program budget given the current economic situation and state deficit. It is estimated Illinois faces a budget deficit of about $11.5 billion. Elected officials continue to discuss possible tax increases, program cuts, or a combination of both to address the budget shortfall. Illinois agriculture will most likely be faced with a proposed state budget in which tough decisions will have to be made to balance the state budget within the current revenue stream. Some of Farm Bureau's other priorities in 2010 include seeking passage of legislation to allow equine harvesting in Illinois, preempt anticipatory nuisance suits against owners of proposed livestock facilities or expansions to existing facilities that are in compliance with the Livestock Management Facilities Act, and to expedite the ability of the Illinois Department of Natural Resources to issue nuisance permits and/or expand the ability of the landowner to use that permit. First, Illinois Farm Bureau will introduce legislation to repeal the amendment that outlawed horse slaughter for human consumption. The number of unwanted or spent horses that are now being put down in alternative ways or abandoned is on the rise. The agricultural community has become increasingly alarmed by the use of lawsuits to deter farmers from their right to farm. This is especially true in the livestock sector, where there have been environmental lawsuits filed before a facility has been constructed or even populated with livestock. Also, Farm Bureau will work closely with the Illinois Pork Producers Association and the Illinois Beef Association to introduce and pass legislation that will narrow what lawsuits can be filed when no cause for the lawsuit can be attributed other than anticipatory nuisance. Finally, plans to work with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources to expedite permits to landowners when wildlife is causing damage to crops. Like all of you, Farm Bureau has lots of goals to obtain our resolutions in the new year. It is a big task, and hopefully together we can keep on the track. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call. The number is 217-333-9697. That's 217-333-9697. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for our free weekend newsletter over on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe at willag.org. In just about 2 minutes, I'll return when we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt about the weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. A faculty organization on the University of Illinois' Urbana campus suggests a number of professors use 4 unpaid furlough days to discuss the state budget crunch that brought these days on. The president of the campus faculty association, Megan McLaughlin, says instead of simply spending 4 furlough days at home, several faculty could utilize them to organize discussions with students on Illinois' finances, or perhaps organize a bus trip to Springfield during the legislative session. McLaughlin says the legal ramifications of such a trip haven't yet been explored. While faculty can choose between furloughs and voluntary salary reductions, the history professor notes the second option would mean reduced basic life insurance coverage, as noted in a comparison sheet put out by the U of I administrators yesterday. The nursing home industry speaking out against proposed higher fees and across-the-board increased staffing requirements. Proposals come from a task force that met in Chicago today. The task force released 27 draft recommendations last week aimed at ending a pattern of assaults in nursing homes by residents with criminal backgrounds and mental illness. Task Force Chairman Michael Gelder says the state's recent notice to a Chicago nursing home that it will be shut down if it doesn't correct problems is an example of how seriously Illinois takes resident safety. The nursing home, Somerset Place, says managers are taking steps to fix problems. The federal government also told the facility it has until February 7th to correct problems or it will lose federal funds. A key witness in the murder case against former police officer Drew Peterson says he strongly hinted he intended to kill his fourth wife, Stacy, and dramatically described how he believed he helped dispose of her body. Peterson's stepbrother, Thomas Murphy, testified at a hearing today to decide whether prosecutors can use hearsay evidence. They tried to prove allegations Peterson killed his third wife, Kathleen Savio, in 2004. Peterson hasn't been charged in Stacy's 2007 disappearance. He has pleaded not guilty in Savio's death. Murphy told a hushed courtroom Peterson suggested he intended to kill Stacy because she planned to divorce him. The next day, Murphy says he helped Peterson move a large blue barrel that was warm to the touch. I'm Jeff Bonsert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. On a Thursday afternoon, we're joined by Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, to take a look at the weather forecast for the state, the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the state. It's gray, gloomy, though we didn't really get as much ice as we thought we might here. That's good news. Temperatures have been warmer, but it's still quite a little bit of rainfall.
Yeah, the heaviest activity now is in the southern half of the state, mostly on a northwest-southeast band from about just north of Springfield down to Evansville. And they're getting moderate rain down there. Then there's a gap in the rain as you come up north of I-72 to I-80, and then there's just some stuff around the Chicago metro area with an east wind bringing some drizzle and rain. But fortunately, as you said, with the temperatures hovering around or just above freezing, it's not producing much ice anywhere. Even out in the burbs, that's not happening.
Looks like the drizzle's going to stick around for a bit longer.
Yeah, it will. This system's moving to the east. It's going to stay south, pretty much south of the upper half of the Midwest. And we've got some mild air around, which will promote drizzle and high dew points and the like. And we're seeing temperatures averaging above normal. And the next couple of days, we're going to see the temperatures above normal. Tomorrow, the getting above freezing, up in the mid to upper 30s maybe. Saturday looks like the mild day, getting up into mid to upper 40s much of the region. And then Sunday, another rainy day, actually Saturday night and Sunday, with this system that's been giving California so much trouble. That system is going to come eastward, or at least a piece of it, and it's going to come across Illinois and Indiana and Ohio and southern Iowa this over the weekend. That'll clean out Sunday night and Monday. The last mild day is Monday, and it looks like the January thaw is going to end. And then we turn back to normally cold weather the beginning of next week, and there'll be a few good shots of even colder weather when we get into the following week. But this is the mild period. Looks like it's coming to an end.
Well, let's take a little further look out. The 30s and 60s are out. It's the third Thursday of the month.
Right. The third day forecast, which is the forecast for February, has got temperatures above normal in the Pacific Northwest and a tier of northern states east of there. Montana, the Dakotas, Minnesota has above normal. Below normal temperatures are confined to an area from Texas to Florida and then up into the mid-Atlantic coast. And in between, which is where most of the Midwest lies, there's that EC lettering again, which means equal chances, which means take your pick whether it's going to be warmer or cooler than normal. As for precipitation, it's mostly in the southern tier of states again, California to Florida, bulging up a little bit in the center of the country up towards Kansas and Nebraska. But they've got the eastern Midwest in a dry area for a change for February, and the Pacific Northwest uncharacteristically dry for February. So that's the 30-day forecast. And then the 90-day forecast is almost exactly the same. They've got it dry in the northern half of the country and wet along the southern tier of states. Dry and not a bad pattern. And that's for February, March, and April.
We appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure.
And that is Pete Levitt. I'm Todd Gleason.